a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder in Ho-Chunk. My colonized name, Wendy, is Robert Pilot. That's what's on our wedding certificate and my driver's license. And we discuss Native issues and all over Turtle Island, whether it's energy, pipelines, artists, and all around just everything. And we do the best we can to get the word out to all our allies what's going on in Turtle Island. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby's, a plant-based eatery located at 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul. Yum.
Hey, I want to say thank you and happy Native American Heritage Month. Every month is, but this one's especially good because it's you know, during the same month as Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So when they took our country away, we celebrate that every November. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give a shout out to our new affiliate out there, 100,000 watts of clear signal at WOSB Woodland Community Radio out there in Hayward, Wisconsin, 100,000 watts. That's a lot. So, hey, just giving you a shout out. And before we get any further, Wendy, let's get with Ogama with the news. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ginuikwe. I am a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And as always, I bring you news on Native Roots Radio. I usually like to start with the more local news, Stop Line 3, all those kinds of fun things. So in Stop Line 3 news, Ron Turney of the Indigenous Environmental Network posted today some pretty gruesome photos of what the site on the Mississippi River near what used to be Camp Firelight looks. If you have not yet, you're going to want to go over to the Indigenous Environmental Network's page and take a look at it. There's oil slicks, and I can't even describe it to you properly in words. Without the images, and I wasn't on top of it enough today to bring them for you to look at while we're on the air. But if you scoot on over to Indigenous Environmental Network on Facebook, those pictures are there with the description, and it's absolutely just breaking my heart. In other news of Camp Firelight, the Camp Firelight and Manuman Protector Camps, the Manuman Protector Camp is working with the Rice Lake community, and they're working on water delivery for the future until the communities have safe drinking water right now. So it looks like Wild Rice Protector Camp is making sure that those in the areas are able to get fresh water where they need to, because this is no laughing matter, you know, when we talk about the quality of the water coming out of the Mississippi here. I also want to talk a little bit about COP26, which is the International Climate Summit, which is seeing a huge amount of Indigenous presence. Just today and yesterday, Indigenous activists from all over the world, not just the United States, but Indigenous people from all over the world, have said that there's voices missing because there are so many people who have started to fight for Mother Earth and have actually been killed in the process. So there's a lot of missing voices that are happening there. Also exciting news from Indigenous Environmental Network. They did find a new report that the Oil Change International and Environmental Defense of Canada has revealed that 8 of Canada's major oil and gas producers are actually all on track to increase their production despite their claims otherwise, which is going to push us closer and closer with that warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And they're just, you know, talking about carbon neutrality and, you know, just kind of greenwashing these plans that don't actually do anything. And that is really being taken care of in the international sphere right now at COP26. We are hoping that that happens. One more local thing here, too, or I guess local-ish. If you eat cereal, please remember that Kellogg's workers have been on strike now for about 3 weeks. If you do need to buy cereal, make sure that you buy cereal that was made before October 4th, which is when they walked out. You can find the date in pink on the box right next to the best if used by, or the best if used by is exactly 1 year after the date it was made. So if the box says good until October 4th, 2022, it's good for you, and you are not breaking the picket line with that one. But I like to throw that one out there in solidarity. In other Indigenous news, this is really cool. I don't know if you, Robert or Wendy, happened to see that out of Madison, Wisconsin. They pulled a canoe out of Lake Mendota on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's ancient. It's like 1,200 years old.
Yeah, they did carbon dating on it and found out, yeah, that it's, yeah.
They found it, I guess, a few months ago, and they were really hush-hush about it before they tested it. And we had some Ho-Chunk people there in celebration, but also working with the Wisconsin Historical Society. I always want to say hysterical. I always want to say Hysterical Society. I don't know. Is that just me? But no, and a shout out to them for reaching out to Ho-Chunk Nation. And there's pictures and things all over the interweb.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, despite, you know, how kind of beat up it is. It's actually made from a single tree. And they think it's about 1,200 years old and was in use around AD 800, which would have been a couple of centuries, actually, before Europeans arrived. The canoe was raised from a depth of 30 feet with the assistance of Dane County sheriffs. And it's expected the actual preservation process I'm not sure what the preservation process is supposed to do or how it works, but the actual preservation process is supposed to take up to 3 years.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a long project, and we're going to be hearing about it again.
One thing, too, it was a smaller canoe, so we were a lot smaller back then. We had a sacred voice back then, but we were smaller. And now I see a lot of Ho-Chunk people that are well over 6 foot, and they're not only sacred, but they're tall now. But it was a smaller, did I already say that?
Canoe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the canoe itself does not look like as big as the canoes that we would use today, but it's still just, you know, remarkable to me how much our people have adapted and, you know, evolved even since, you know, just a couple of centuries before the Europeans arrived. I mean, we're only talking about 400 years back, and hey, that isn't...
On. Ogama, I have a story, too, from Wisconsin that our Ho-Chunk flag is above Bascom Hall at the University of Wisconsin-Madison for the first time ever in college history. So that's another quick shout-out to our people that are listening to us in Madison. Just great things.
Yeah, absolutely. We do love our people in Madison. We don't get to shout them out nearly enough. I do want to give one shout out, too, before my time runs up here. There's going to be a fry bread and chili fundraiser at the old District 1 Community Center on November 5th, District 1 in Mille Lacs. So that's on the Mille Lacs Reservation. If you're going to be north of the cities in central Minnesota near Mille Lacs this weekend, November 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., there's going to be Mother Day's fry bread and chili for $8, and all proceeds will go to Creating Passions in Recovery, which is an organization that helps to bring art events to people who are recovering from substance use disorder. You can also make a monetary donation directly at PayPal at Creating Passions. And a little bit of a shout out here to Colin Cash for arranging that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just got to give myself a quick shout out too here in November. Wendy is my November 9th is my sobriety date for 37 years. So we really appreciate what Colin does, and
That's fantastic. And on that day also, we're getting our booster vaccine.
And I take presents all month too. So I'm registered at Target and all these fine stores. Hey, up next we have State Representative Heather Keeler, and she has a guest with us, and we're going to talk about some exciting news and also talk a little bit about a little bit, and we'll be right back.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
It's not the younger people who are getting sick, and that's what people are so hesitant about getting the vaccine, because they think to themselves, well, I'm not really going to die. However, right now, they are the ones who are transmitting the virus to other people, and we need to make sure we're vaccinating as many people as possible.
This message is brought to you by McGizzy Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, before we get to with Heather Keeler and her guest, I was wondering, Ogama, if you could just read that press release. We got information from Bob Blake that he will not be on today because it's his birthday and probably this celebration too, if you listen to this press release.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm Ogama Ganuikwe, and I guess I'm standing in for Bob Blake from Red Lake today of Native Sun Community Power Development. Happy birthday to you, Bob. So Bob sent over this press release, and it is fantastic news. The Department of Energy has awarded $6.67 million to build a new intertribal electric vehicle charging network. So supporting efforts to basically connect the Standing Rock, Red Lake, and other reservations with vital medical, commerce, and government services, the U.S. Department of Energy Vehicle, or EV Technologies Office, has selected Native Sun Community Power Development for this award, as well as the Upper Midwest Tribal EV Charging Community Network, and the project is expected to commence in early 2022. Wow. So this is huge news, absolutely huge news.
Wow. Thank you for reading that and that press release. Mm-hmm. And Bob Blake, who we've had on over a couple of years, deserves all the good medicine that he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
congratulations.
You know, Wendy, mm-hmm. This is like a celebration too, because a year ago today, Heather Keeler was elected as state representative of the great state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And she's on here today, which is exciting for us because mm-hmm. we get to take time off. Is she's on here with her own guest. And why don't we, without any further ado, why don't we get State Representative Heather Keeler on? Welcome, Heather.
Thanks. I always love being here. It is kind of crazy that it's been a year. And as I've said many times before, I just really appreciate Native Roots Radio and you all being such good family members to me during this time in transition. So thanks. I do. Okay. So long before I was a state representative, I was involved in education. I worked in K-12 in Indian education, but then I also worked in higher ed with NDSU. And so a lot of that work came from a really deep passion place for me. And so I continue to stay connected with NDSU, even though I'm not employed by them, to continue to work on some of the visions that we had. And so I thought if it was okay, one of the things that was a conversation a couple years ago is actually coming to reality this year. And NDSU is hosting an Indigenous Student Day. It's a visit day on campus. And I thought I would bring the director of admissions from NDSU, Sinkeese Linen, to join me just to talk a little bit about it, why we think this stuff is important and why we want to share it with the Native Roots Radio community.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me. Hey, Heather. It's good to see you.
Hi.
It's good to be on here. Really appreciate the opportunity to be able to share more about this event, this first ever event that we've actually held at NDSU, to my knowledge. And first want to give credit to Heather. During her time at NDSU, this was her idea. This was her concept. And we are just really taking her concept and bringing it to life, if you will. And we'll obviously include her in the event as well. She'll be opening and keynoting the event and kicking it off. But the event is really a way for us to expose area students, Indigenous Native students, to NDSU, not only to NDSU, but to just college in general. Really trying to encourage students to seek out campus visit opportunities, even if they're not interested in our institution, to see what it's like to potentially be a college student, and to engage with other students who identify as Indigenous, also faculty and staff who are Indigenous. And so we really hope that students can see themselves through this event and that they can learn a lot of information about higher education, and that we have a good time. So we have over 150 people registered for this event already, which is exciting, very exciting, and they're continuing to roll in. So I don't know, Heather, if you want me to get into specifics now or if you want to pause for a moment, I'm happy to keep going.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I remember when we were like planning, we were thinking like maybe 50 students would come. And it was a way, you know, Robert, you and I talk about, you know, Indian education and working with kids in high school and why it's so important to provide opportunities that they can envision themselves on a college campus, or that they can envision themselves connected in college communities. I'm not saying that college is for everybody, because I do think that everybody has their own journey and what's next. But if college or some sort of professional career is something that interests you, we just thought putting this unique event together would be a really fun way to do it. So we're starting out with, you know, as always, there's our prayer, there's kind of a grounding and a setting and a welcome. We have students that will be around to answer questions, because we know that student to student conversation is always better. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're super excited. A little link for the registration's down here, and I think we could probably share it out at least on the Facebook pages. You know, is there a cap, Sinkeese? Are we close to the cap?
We honestly were hoping for 150 people. We've reached our goal. We can accommodate up to 500 people, and we will keep registration open until November 12th, and maybe longer if folks want to register a few days before. So yeah, we all are welcome. It's a free event. Lunch will be provided as part of the event too. So it's also for family members, friends, supporters of potential future college students. So it's not just for students. It could be really anybody who wants to support their student. So yeah, we're really excited. We hope it's going to be a really fun time and a way for students to connect and see themselves represented on our campus. Heather has talked to me a lot about representation matters, and that has really stuck with me. And so we're trying to make this event unique and different than other events that we typically host on campus.
Yeah, I know it's really important. And we talk about our politicians, but also it's important for our students to see other students in places that normally aren't, and to see people that look like them. Heather, I think, like you do as a state representative, it's always exciting when I was teaching to have people recognize who you are and where you're from, and in a good way.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, because I think we all know this, but when we're on college campuses, it's really hard to find people who look like you. You know, I remember like you intentionally had to seek out other Indigenous students, whether or not on campus there's a center. But there were questions that I wish I would have asked like before I got to campus. So I think what part of this event is it's just walking through like, what does a campus visit actually look like? You know, we're supporters of kids just finding their best fit. And so like Sinkis mentioned, you know, it's really just getting the feel for what it's like to be on campus in a safe, hopefully recognizable space that we can ask questions and help. We'll have scholarship conversations there too. You know, I Robert, I think we've talked about it. I'm a Cobell scholar, and we know that, you know, financial support can be so important for students. And so I just want to kind of put on people's radar, the FAFSA is open now. And so if you're looking to go to school in Sinkis, if you maybe want to run through the timeline of what some of that looks right. like and what some scholarships might look like too, just for people to know a timeline.
You bet, Heather. Yep. So the FAFSA, for quick background, it's a federal application. It allows you to be considered for anywhere from loans, grants, employment eligibility on campus. And so most institutions ask for that to determine what students may be eligible for. That opened on October 1st for next year. And every school has different deadlines, but it's open now and you are asked to submit your tax information as part of that. You'd use your tax information that you submitted in 2020, not 2021. And some scholarships, just to kind of follow up with what Heather just said, at NDSU, we have two scholarships that I want to highlight that give priority or exclusively for Indigenous student populations. So one of them is the New Beginning Scholarship. This scholarship was made available to us through some grant funding through the USDA, I believe, 1 or 2 years ago. Students can apply for this award. It's $1,000 per semester, and you can reapply for it every year to be considered. So that's one opportunity. You need to approve your tribal enrollment or tribal membership, but it is an opportunity for students to apply for. And then the cultural diversity tuition waiver is another one. Students who identify or who are part of an enrolled tribal nation receive priority for this award, and it could cover up to $8,000 of tuition. It's based on financial need, so that's where the FAFSA comes into play. So if you submit your FAFSA and you demonstrate high financial need, you could get up to $8,000. We also offer the award in the amounts of $2,000 or $4,000 as well. So those are opportunities NDSU specific, but there's several that are state specific, national. There's many out there. So I always try to tell students, do some research, put a little bit of work into it. But for sure, now you know about two specific NDSU opportunities.
Wow, that's exciting, Heather.
I have a question. So it's an in-person event. Are there any opportunities to be online or to watch it from elsewhere?
That's a great question. We are working on that, at least trying to live stream the opening session. I'm working with the venue to see if that's possible. It might be a little difficult to do that throughout the event because we'll be out and about and touring, but we hope to at least offer the welcome and the blessing virtual for folks to join in. And if that does become available, we'll put it on our website and probably share it with you, Robert, and Heather, yeah, or others, just to spread the word if they can't attend in person.
Wow, really good segment, Heather. But we have to leave and pay the bills, but really appreciate both you being on. And I don't know, Heather, can you stand for a little bit, second segment?
Sure can.
Wait, I'm not counting correctly. That would be the third segment. The next one.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, Peeny Gigi for being on, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Are you remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Hey, Tom Harbin here, and you can catch me live every weekday from 11 to 2 following the Stephanie Miller Show right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
If you're an Indigenous person who has thought about going to college or completing your degree, then North Dakota State has a great event for you coming up. Thursday, November 18th is Indigenous Student Visit Day at North Dakota State University. The event is for Indigenous community members who have an interest in attending North Dakota State. Throughout the day, you'll get a tour of the campus, have a chance to connect with current students, professors, and staff members. You'll also learn about support services, financial aid, the application process, have optional breakout sessions, and more. Since the health and safety of the community is important at North Dakota State, face coverings are required in all classroom settings and strongly recommended in all indoor spaces when social distancing cannot be maintained. So take the opportunity to further explore your education options with Indigenous Student Visit Day at North Dakota State University on Thursday, November 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Register now online at ndsu.edu/visit and then click on the Weekend Visits tab to find Indigenous Visit Day. Again, search NDSU Indigenous Visit Day at ndsu.edu/visit. With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 31, Thursday sunny with a high near 50, and Friday sunny with a high around 55. And check out Cafe Latte's bakery that features freshly baked bread, cupcakes, and more. Cafe Latte believes ingredients matter, so that's why they never use artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. Make a reservation or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Heather Keeler, State Representative of Minnesota. And Heather, I was talking to Wendy during the break, and I know... you're very humble, and I really appreciate that because it helps me be humble, too, because being around humble people, you know, makes
helps you to be humble.
Right.
That's good.
I'm proud of my humility, and I'll tell everyone about it if that's the case, if I'm not around humble people. So one of the things I want to just let you know, we have a new affiliate, and it's WOSB out in it's 100,000 watts out in Michigan. It hits Michigan, and it's in Wisconsin. And so I kind of want to just talk to you about a little bit, seeing that this is the anniversary, but just a little bit about your journey, because I think people in Madison and Chicago might not have heard your story. I mean, we always jump into things that are going on, and I know you did a last minute turn when you signed up to run, and it's really interesting, if you don't mind, bringing that story up. It's an awesome story.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think it's good for me too to sometimes just go back to the story of like why I do this work, because it gets you know, the trenches are really hard to walk through on a regular basis. So I'd love to go back and kind of talk about the journey getting here. So I guess it starts with I am an enrolled member of the Hantawan Nation, which is the Yankton Sioux tribe down in South Dakota with lineage to Eastern Shoshone. My family moved off the reservation because my mom ended up, it was supposed to be a short contract with the state of South Dakota, and she stayed and helped develop and implement the Medicaid program in the state of South Dakota. So we were there for off the reservation, you know, my whole high school, well, my whole school. And so growing up, I didn't see people who looked like me unless I went like back home. My teachers didn't look like me. You know, people in the community that I saw as leaders didn't look like me. And then as I graduated high school and kind of went out into the world, I noticed in healthcare, because a lot of people in my family were getting sick. My grandma, I was taking her to the doctor a lot. My mom worked in healthcare at the time. And I noticed that our doctors and our nurses and, you know, people within our healthcare systems didn't look like us either. And then transitioned down life a little more and realized like our state leaders, our legislators, our the people who are making policy impacting our communities don't necessarily look like us. And when people don't look like us, or making decisions for us, they're not made with us in mind. And so I just really started to get the itch to get involved, I guess. And it started working in Indian education. We asked our school district if we could add Indigenous Peoples Day to the calendar because we wanted an education opportunity to talk about the accurate histories of Turtle Island and the land that we're on. And we were told no. And Robert, I know you and Wendy understand this, but you know, I don't take no very well. And I just feel like there's always a path. Like, why is it no? What did I need to do? And I needed to basically pass it at a city level for the city to recognize it. So I figured out that there were city commissions. I applied to be on the Human Rights Commission, went through that process, got appointed, and then worked the path to pass Indigenous Peoples Day in my community. And I brought people with me in that process. You know, I filled the city hall with about 100 people from the community because I think it's really important that as we learn how to make change in our communities, we bring other people with us. Because I had never been in city hall. I had never seen a process like this work. And I thought it was valuable information to share with other people as well. And so when the 4A seat opened up, people asked me if I was interested in running, and it was like, I wasn't. At the time, I thought maybe school board would be like the max because I care about education. And 20 people, 20 women in my community continued to reach out and asked if I would run. And so I did. I made a commitment to myself that I was going to be genuine in the areas that I really care about, even if at times, you know, I feel like my voice is the only voice yelling as loud as I can about an issue. I try to genuinely show up as my most authentic self in these spaces, you know, coming from the lens of life and the journey that I've gone through.
Yeah. I've talked to people and I've told you this, and I have never really said, you know, how is Heather doing? Is Heather doing great? People that you work with in the house have come to me and know that we know each other and just tell me how great a job you're doing. And I'm not just saying that because you're on our show, but I think your energy helps energy of people that have been there for a while and rejuvenate their energy. And I really feel that that was Hornstein that came up to me out of the clear blue at Winona's birthday party up in Duluth. And it was just like, yeah, we're proud of her, you know? And it's great to hear that, because you bring that energy and it helps people that have been around for a while to get re-energized, I think.
Yeah, I think it goes to say, like, this wasn't a career aspiration for me. Like, I didn't go to school for political science. This wasn't something that I wanted to do. I've just experienced the systems and negative impacts and wanted to get involved. And I hope that the message that shares is that we need everyday people. You know, we need single moms. We need individuals who are, you know, just doing their best to get by. We need people who have utilized different pieces, you know, of the economy that we have set up for us and the systems that we have set up for us. We need you at the tables because that's who makes the best decisions. And that's why I think it's, you know, re-energizing, because I literally came from working in grassroots efforts in my community to then sitting at a state table and trying to reel people in sometimes to remember that we're here for the people, not to pocket our own, you know, like, not to pocket our own selves and our own profits.
Right, exactly. Wendy had a great question. We were talking during the break, and one of the things is a reflection of this last year. What's good, what's positive, what's negative, and what you've learned. Can you start with what's been positive for you as a state rep? Because I know we're doing things so different now, you know, so different over the lines with COVID. You know, what a time to get elected.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the positive thing is obviously we passed some really big legislation around Indigenous rights, murdered and missing Indigenous relatives office. You know, there were other things in the building code, so we can build earth lodges now without the fines, cultural revitalization work across the state, which I take a lot of pride in. You know, we do that in the sisterhood with Senator Kunesh, Representative Jamie Becker Finn, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, you know, like having all of us here together as an Indigenous sisterhood does help us move that. And so it's really powerful to be a part of that. But on a personal space, I was just kind of doing a reflection today, like, you know, it's my kids are seeing this. I watched the video a year ago and Elliot was like, yay, you know, mom gets to work at the Capitol. And we didn't really know like what that meant. And then he came to the Capitol and he was like, it's so big, like it's so bright. You know, but after a year, a whole year of this cycle, you know, I'm just so proud of my kids for being able to be down for the sacrifice and know that, like, you know, mom misses out on some things and that's really hard on all of us, but that we see the good that we were able to do collectively. And I know that the work that I do is not me as an individual, that it very much comes with the weight of my family, you know, and that hopefully we're planting seeds for them to want to be part, you know, part of bigger conversations and changes for their next generations as well.
Yeah, that's exciting. Wendy, you got
it. Is. It's great. You're inspiring. And I hope that a lot of people out there who are listening will be inspired by you and will run for any type of seat, you know, whether it's school board or city council or, you know, whatever it be.
Well, just as long as it isn't Heather's seat.
No, well, as long any as seat it's but not Heather's.
Right. But no, that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I don't want to do this forever, but maybe not my seat this section, right? Like, let me get to the next election and then we'll see.
Right.
Like, we need more people at the table. You know, Greater Minnesota is a really tough space to run. I know it gets lonely in these spaces, but if you can encourage people to get involved, you know, even if it's as a campaign manager or a campaign coordinator or just getting involved, because it's just collectively we do so much better. And campaigns are really teams. Like, we are teams that get candidates to the finish line. And those teams are pretty deep. So just get involved.
Well, Heather, I know you just got back into the cities here, and I just want to really give you a shout out. It's I appreciate your humility too, because I think when we have you on, we could easily do two segments because we have this conversation, and we have deep conversations over the radio. And so I kind of chuckle to myself when you say, I don't know what to talk about. And here we are, the segment's over. And Wendy and I really appreciate you coming on. And it's I appreciate you keep coming on too. That really solidifies and really makes Native Roots Radio legit. So I really, really appreciate that.
Well, Robert, you know, relationships matter. And we say that, and Wendy and you have been so amazing to me. And when I say that we're like family, like I really mean that. And family shows up for each other. Like, we can be really busy and you know, I'll do my best. And like, I tell you if I can't make it, but at the end of the day, like, I support you and what you're doing and the movement and the growth that y'all are making. And so, really it's like just coming home when I come to Native Roots Radio. So
wow. How come, Wendy, I'm always emotional after we talk to Heather? Really, seriously.
You're soft-hearted, Robert.
Oh, well, thank you, State Representative Heather Keeler, for being on, as always. And, you know, keep on doing the great work. We're watching you, and many, many people are watching and cheering for you. And, again, we appreciate you being on.
Oh, Pilam. Thank you all. I'll bring guests back next time.
Oh, yeah, all right.
That's great. Thank you.
Right on. Hey, wow. Crazy, Wendy. It's just beautiful to have Heather on. And, you know, next segment here, we're going to talk sacred animals. Mm-hmm. And we're excited to have you talk about that.
Yeah, I have
that.
A couple of updates.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
I should say it again. We got 10 seconds. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
That was perfect. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
That's a good one. Yeah. Sometimes it's better with just us three to howl.
We howl.
It's a little confusing with everyone else.
We're good howls.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate. It's hard for me to say that after 4 years.
Having a hard time talking today,
animal
too.
Advocate
yeah.
for many years. And she speaks on our sacred animals, and you've been doing it for almost 4 years on Native Roots Radio. And I remember the old days when you got totally prepared and you wrote down every word you were going to say. And now you're just like, hey, I got this website here and let's wing it.
Just kind of wing it. Yeah.
But I think they're both as good because I learn so much about our sacred animals, which are our relatives.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you asked, Wendy, can you talk about animals almost every day or at least a couple of times a week? I said, absolutely, because honestly, every day I have at least three or four different things that I could talk about. I never run out of news to talk about with animals.
So. Same with us.
it's never ending. But my name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, as always, Curtis. Thank you for the beautiful name. And I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level. And I have an article here. I'm trying to bring it up here and it's getting really big, so I don't know what I'm going to do here. Anyway, I'm really excited. It's from New York. It's a new law that just passed. But first, before I get into the this law, I just want to congratulate Eric Adams. He's the new New York City mayor.
Yeah.
African-American male. And he's vegan, so I'm really excited about that. I would have voted for you if I could, but I can't. So
I know you were asking earlier if you could, and it's like, no, you can only vote one place.
But I have this article here from Syracuse.com, and it's the title of it is "New York: New New York Law Gives Courts Guidance on Pet Custody in Divorce Cases." And this was just updated on October 28th and published.
I don't know if I like this.
It is, but you want to listen to this. This is written by Kevin Tamborn. Albany, New York, a new law signed this week by Governor Kathy Hochul aims to make custody disputes over pets during divorces case a bit more humane. Rather than treating pets the same as the dining room table, the law requires judges in divorce proceedings to consider the animal's best interests when deciding which spouse gets custody. And this was according to the Niagara Gazette. The measure will help prevent... Here we go. I lost it again. The measure will help prevent pets from being used as bargaining chips in divorce negotiations. Assemblywoman Deborah Glick, a Democrat from Manhattan, said, according to the Gazette. She also said, quote, "I think in the past, pets were simply property," Glick said, according to the paper. "But they are sentient beings, and on the basis they deserve some thoughtful consideration, and that is what the intention is. For example, judges could consider which spouse often feeds the animal, took the pet to the veterinarian, spend the most time with it." Lawmakers who supported the bill argued custody battles involving pets are not uncommon. The new law will help determine a clear path to resolving those disagreements. California, Alaska, Illinois all have similar laws on the books. New York's new law takes effect immediately.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm really happy to hear that. And you know what? Animals should be considered in divorce proceedings, and they shouldn't be used as bargaining tools or treated like the dining room table. That's true.
Yeah. I just that term.
An update here from the Humane Society of the United States. Are having a free webinar, and it's called "Becoming Bear Aware in the Southeastern United States." Apparently, they're having bear problems there, and it's how to learn to keep bears and people safe. The free webinar is on Wednesday, November 17th, and it's at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So again, November 17th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you live in the southeastern United States and you want to learn how to live with bears, watch Becoming Bear Aware.
That's cool.
Exactly. I know, cool. Right? Also, this Friday is November 9th. Is that right?
I think it's the 5th this Friday because it's
Wednesday
right.
So
today.
So next Friday, November 9th, Surgery and Wellness Clinic.
That's my sobriety birthday. Is it Friday?
I don't know. Look it up for me because I need to stay here.
Next Tuesday is November 9th.
Oh, I wonder why this is here. Why it says Friday?
Wait, Wendy, this isn't a rehearsal. We're live.
I know. All right.
Thanks,
so Tuesday, November 9th, from 9 to 4 p.m., Surgery and Wellness Animal Clinic in the All Nations Church in Minneapolis. They're doing a spay and neuter surgeries. You have to sign up for that for first. You can't just bring your cat or dog and say you want them neutered.
That's Marlene's church.
Yeah, they have to be registered. The surgery spots are limited, so you need to call, and you can call them at 612-872-1424. So you have to register for that. But if you just need to bring your pet in for a wellness check or some vaccines, mm-hmm. you can do that, and it's first come, first serve.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I have one last thing here, but I have to bring it up.
It's going to get too big on your phone, and then you won't be able to read it. But
I know.
Let's just talk a little bit about, while you're looking that up, can you talk a little bit about HSUS and the difference between, it's not an adoption agency?
Yes, I will. Absolutely. But before I do that, I want to just talk about this big win. Ooh. So 400 communities across the United States now stand up against puppy mills. And this is just a new updated thing here from November 2nd. HSUS campaign to stop puppy mill cruelty just reached an important milestone with the passage of the 400th local ordinance prohibiting the sale of puppy mill puppies in pet stores. And this is something to celebrate, as it shows so many people coming together to make the world a more humane place for animals. So I just wanted to bring that up. And yes, the Humane Society of the United States, who I volunteer for, is the national organization. It's the largest animal advocacy,
organization,
thank you, in the United States. So we don't adopt out cats and dogs.
Right.
That's not what we do. We work on policy to change laws to bring you more humane laws into place for animals. So that's what we do. So this here, this 400 communities across the United States are doing that city by city.
Yeah.
Some state by states are doing it, but some city by city are doing this. And this is really helping the pipeline to these puppy mills, which I'm a really, big advocate to end, because we have our own little puppy mill breeder dog here, Gracie, who lived in a puppy mill for 7 years, and it really reaped havoc on her little body.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving along.
Wow, Wendy.
We're doing a good job. And
I like that mixture of good news and straight news. That was awesome about
a little bit of everything today.
Our sacred animals, which are our relatives. So I want to give you that big shout out that they are relations to us. Yeah.
My absolute pleasure.
Hey, I want to just say happy Native American Heritage Month to everybody. And it was great having Heather on today. Mm-hmm. Ogama with the News is always rock solid. And congratulations to Bob Blake. Big time money, $6.7 million to get those things happening, to plug in cars all across Turtle Island up here in the north. And So I'd like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3.